Welcome to Go To Gal, episode number 131. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today we are talking about something that I have struggled with since the early 90s. I was going to say my whole life, maybe my whole life. I actually think I was born a couple weeks late, so maybe this is something I've struggled with my whole life, but I have struggled with procrastination for as long as I can remember, literally thinking back to the early 90s in elementary school and putting literally doing a manatee project. And I used to be obsessed with manatees. So it wasn't wasn't even interested, but it was this combination of perfectionism and procrastination of, oh my goodness, I've done all this stuff and it's got to be a certain way. And down to the last minute, and driving my parents absolutely nuts and having all of this stuff, cramming it in the night before, literally back in elementary school. So fast forward to today, it's still something I struggle with. And there's certain things that I'm better at now than others. And I certainly have a lot more tools in my toolbox in terms of how to get ahead of it or around it or avoid it. But I will tell you, this conversation today with our guest, Christina Roman, was so encouraging and mind opening for me. I felt so empowered by this conversation. Christina is a coach who specializes in helping procrastinators. So if this is something, if you're like me, if you have struggled with this your whole life, I feel like I'm a highly functioning procrastinator now, but it's still there, right? And maybe you're the same, or maybe this is something that's really keeping you stuck in your business. I wanted to bring Christina on because when we get to a certain point, especially as personal brands, we are the bottleneck in our business. And if we're procrastinating on things, we're bottlenecking our growth. This is really when you are able to tap into this and flip this around, it can just feel like you're free to soar. And like I said, it's something I still am and continuing to work on. And as I stretch myself in areas, I find it coming up in others. Christina was kind enough to coach me in part of this conversation too. So you're going to get to see a little bit of the behind the scenes of how I still struggle with procrastination and some mindset around it, and the advice that Christina gave to me, which is pure gold. We also get into surprising ways you might be avoiding your emotions and how to uncover the root cause, the antidote to procrastination, and how to access it without getting stuck in your head. This is key. And why going into flow is so challenging for some tasks and easy for others. And so many great tips on how you can actually get into flow and stop procrastinating. Christina has a variety of ways she supports clients. If you go to the show notes, we have links there, and definitely check out her programs. And when you do, let her know that you found out about it from the GoTo Gal podcast. All right, let me formally introduce you to Christina, and I don't want to procrastinate any longer before we get into this amazing conversation. Christina is a Washington, D.C.-based certified life coach. She helps distracted, rushed, overwhelmed mid-career entrepreneurs and corporate professionals free up their time and energy so that they can refocus on the things they've been putting on the back burner. If you're a hoarder of half-finished projects that you'd love to finally complete, she is your girl, or I say the go-to gal for procrastinators. She half jokes that she's the cross-legged coach. Her goal is always to keep things casual, but wildly impactful for her clients. All right, without any further procrastination, here's my conversation with Christina. Christina, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like it's been a long time coming.
It has. All right. Before we get into you and all of the amazingness that you're up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
So this is slightly embarrassing, but I used to make my family order off of menus for dinner. So my mom would make dinner and then I would be the waitress and I would make them order and then I would bring it to the dinner on a tray, and it was a whole restaurant experience. I think it's cute looking back. They didn't think it was as cute in the moment though, but I think it makes sense now because I use cooking to de-stress. So that's what I was the go-to gal for.
Oh, I
can so picture you doing that. And I'm like, I can probably picture my own daughter doing that too. And she likes to be in charge and like, yes. you know, and creating the environment and all of those things. So yes, I can see this all coming together.
Exactly.
Well, and they humored you. Maybe they didn't love it, but you did it. Like they didn't, you know, they could have refused to order.
Exactly. It was very nice of them.
All right. So fast forward to today. What do you do and who do you help?
I am a life coach and I help lifelong procrastinators who feel like they've tried everything. I always joke that I'm up for a challenge. So I love people who come to me. They're like, I've tried every tip, tool, planner, strategy, book, and I'm ready to see it differently. So I help them get to the root cause of procrastination as opposed to just solving it at the surface level.
Well, and you are the perfect guest for me. I may have brought you on self-servingly.
I'll accidentally coach you, I promise.
Oh, but my whole life I've struggled with procrastination and like perfectionism is like the excuse for it, you know. Mm-hmm. I will say having a team helps me a lot now because it's not just me and I tend to be way better at being accountable for other people. So when they're involved or, you know, that extra accountability certainly helps. But yes, I know so many of us struggle with procrastination, which is part of the reason why I brought you on and also something else, which we'll get to later. But yeah, tell us, how do you support your clients? I love that you say life coach and then you're so specific with like the lifelong procrastinators because there's a lot of life coaches, but this is a specific need. It's definitely a pain point. So how did that come about? Why niche to that?
I'm rolling my eyes, which people can't see, only because somebody that you know, Susie, is a Facebook ads manager, and she has the patience of a god, and she has helped me in the last year, bit by bit by bit, getting more and more specific. So I guess for anyone listening who feels like they don't have a specific niche, know that it took me a year to get here. And so the way that I describe it is every single time that I feel like my niche is fully defined, a trapdoor opens and I fall through to another layer. And it's
another level.
yes. Yeah. It's amazing. It's great. I love that I'm getting to know the people who I can help more and more and more every day. And now when I say their words to them, people are like, wait a second, are you in my brain? And I always joke, I'm like, no, I was just in someone else's brain 30 minutes ago. That's why I know. But it took me a year, a solid year of doing that.
Yes. Well, some people, 10 years later, they still don't know. And I love how you say like, it's always evolving, but those doors open and they don't pull you down. And I think that those are opportunities that are opening and you're listening and leaning into them. And I can see why you've been able to grow so fast with that. And yes, when you speak to a specific person, they perk up and listen. So yes. It is, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
All right. So with things that are going on now in our world, and it's interesting having these conversations since March, since we're in a global pandemic, but I will say things are a lot different than back in March. And maybe it's just my own mindset, but it is, it's, you know, some areas of the country are opening up. Some people are still safe at home. It's definitely a little bit different for all of us, but I'll say no matter if your state is kind of getting, I don't know, in different phases, I don't think anybody is having a normal situation right now, right? We're not back to normal yet, no matter where you are.
Right.
What have you seen with your clients that they're struggling with through all of this?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with my experience just really briefly, because I think that this is probably an experience that a lot of other people are having. I was joking with my friend the other day. I was like, I cannot look at Instagram anymore because I either see memes that are like, if you aren't doing this massive project, then that's because you're lazy and it was never an issue of time. It's because you're lazy, right? That's one side. And the other side is like, relax, it's a pandemic. Don't worry about it. No problem. And I was like, I just cannot see these two extremes anymore. And so I'm like, no more Instagram for me for now. But I consider myself somewhere in the middle. And I think that that's where my clients fall as well. They want to overcome procrastination. They want to learn to finish projects. That's a really big thing for many of my clients. And they're not going to fall into the hustle mentality of not sleeping or not doing self-care or not taking care of their family. right? It's all about, I'm hesitant to use the word balance, but it's all about having what you want your life to look like. And I'll just say, in my experience, the only way to do that is to ask yourself, what do I want my life to look like? Instead of looking at Instagram to tell you what you want your life to look like.
So powerful. I love that. It's true. I hear people say, and I've even said too, like if there's certain people, you know, to unfollow or, you know, follow people that do make you feel good, but being intentional, it's just of your feed, but also just like stepping away from the feed, like you said, and just like, what is it that you want? And away from being constantly bombarded by all of these conflicting messages and such, especially when we're literally not at all exposed to the outside world. Like we're even more susceptible to those things.
Yeah.
Now go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to add on. I also think that it's interesting to be able to objectively look at those different memes and go, okay, this is just a meme. And in the life coaching world, we say, this is just a neutral circumstance. It's just a meme. And the way that I'm feeling about the meme is 100% because of my thoughts about the meme, not the meme itself. And I think that's been really interesting to watch as well, is if you're looking at a meme that tells you that you should be doing more, if you're feeling guilty and pressured, it's because you have a thought that agrees with the meme. So I think that's really interesting to watch your reactions as well.
It is. It's true, right? Someone can't push a button you don't have. So paying attention to what are those, because I can't think of a meme off the top of my head that would be something that just wouldn't, but like if there's a meme that just doesn't, you have zero reaction to, like if maybe there's something about your religion that like you're just your those are your beliefs and you're not at all, you know, offended by someone else having different beliefs or something that you're really solid on versus something that maybe you haven't taken that time to get intentional about, but it could be more, dare I use the word, triggering.
So loaded, but yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love that they can't push a button that you don't have. That's brilliant.
Yes. I did not make that up, but I found it. This is somewhere. I don't know where I found it. I thought that was just a common expression. Maybe not. I don't know where it came from, but it gives you that visual of, you know, like I would never be offended by someone like calling me short or something. I'm 5'6". Like I, you know, fairly average height. And I just don't have that button, but I do have other buttons that if they call me certain names that would really offend me, right? And some people don't want to be called short, and that's something that they have that button. So yeah, had that awareness of the buttons and the memes.
Yeah,
it's very powerful this,
totally.
This time. Now you mentioned in the beginning that it's like getting to the root cause of the procrastination. Is there, maybe what are some examples of the root causes, or is being in this situation that we're in, which may be causing more anxiety or more isolation or more just like lack of self-care and alone time for those of us with children, is being in this situation that we're in exasperating any of these problems? How does this all play together?
I love that question. I always say to my clients, I'm like, it's like the universe told you, go to your room, think about what you've done. And while you're there, I'm going to put all of the things that you have successfully avoided up to this point right in front of you. And so
you can't avoid anything right now. Yes.
Yeah. Like you are in a enclosed space with all of the things that your buttons, right? So for a lot of people, that's food or alcohol, or for my clients, maybe it's Netflix or Candy Crush, even things like a puzzle. I have a puzzle on my floor right now and I'm like, wow, I would love to just avoid all my emotions by puzzling all day. That sounds wonderful, but it's still avoidance. Or a lot of people that I know are doing what I call reactive walks. They're like, I don't want to sit with my feelings, so I'm going to go on a walk. It seems so constructive, but it's really avoiding the emotion you don't want to feel. So that's the answer, is that there's always an emotion that you're trying to avoid.
So with procrastination,
that
is a symptom of avoiding emotion, which makes total sense because there's some type of emotion that the activity would bring on that we're avoiding.
Totally. So what I say for my clients is know that procrastination is driven by a feeling. So you want to look at two different feelings though. You want to look at what feeling do I not want to feel that I'm trying to avoid by procrastinating, but also what am I procrastinating with And what feeling am I trying to satisfy with that? So one example, we talk a lot about procrasti-cleaning in my business. And so I always ask someone when they're like, oh yeah, I just clean as a form of procrastination. Why do you clean? Oh, I want to feel calm, or I want to feel accomplished. And then in that moment, when you have the option to do something that you've deemed hard or tough or deep work, or something like cleaning, which you're probably pretty skilled at, and you know, almost certainly you're going to get the feeling of accomplishment, your brain goes, yeah, why on earth would I struggle through deep work when I can go for the easy win of cleaning? So noticing that is the first step.
My husband wishes I had that problem. I do not procrastinate. Those people that are like, oh, I can't work if there's like dishes in the sink. I'm like, oh, that doesn't bother me. I can block that out. Oh, I have other excuses I'll use. But but I've never heard anyone explain it in that way. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm having light bulbs go off and just putting pieces of my own journey together. One of the things I've been working through is a newly discovered Enneagram 7. I've discovered I'm a 7 this year and not a 3. I've been acting like a 3, but I'm really a 7. And that habit of avoiding the negative emotions and shoving down the inconvenient feelings and all of that. And it's almost humorous how having these revelations earlier in the year, it was like, okay, like I'm going to be more present in my feelings and I'm going to, you know, feel my feelings and all of this. And then, oh, the universe gave me this lovely experience where I have all of these feelings every single day. And I'm going to say this is probably the first week that I haven't like cried every day. Like it was like, we've had a lot going on in my family and not even just the world. And through that experience though, of just like being more emotionally present than I've been in my whole life, I've like seen this shift where I'm also more available for the highs and like, and it's almost like allowing myself to go to darker places than maybe I would have allowed myself to go before, kind of unlocked this new level of like happiness and joy too, which has been really cool. But now you saying this, I'm like, oh, and then how does this tie into procrastination? And even someone who's listening who is not an Enneagram 7 or may not struggle in that way, if you struggle with procrastination, knowing that, like, okay, what is it that you're avoiding? And then, yeah, knowing what you're going to and being able to take it to that depth. I've never heard it described that way, and I think that's so powerful. Oh.
I appreciate you sharing your personal experience so much, and I'm sure for the listeners, it's a really powerful thing to hear, just the vulnerability of it. So thank you.
I like to share vulnerable.
Me too.
Maybe I don't like to, but it's cathartic for me too. And hopefully it helps somebody.
Yeah. That's so funny. Cause my mom always says like, it's another growth opportunity. She says it more explicitly, but it's another growth opportunity. And I love that you have that attitude of, oh, I asked for it. And the universe presented a lovely challenge. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yes. Okay. So then where does one of the emails that I got from you that really perked up my attention was this idea of getting into flow state and being able to get into flow state quickly. Before we go there, how does flow state work with procrastination? Like, are these two totally different things, or is there some type of overlap here that we should know about?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. It's something I've spent every day. All day, every day, for fun, thinking about. yeah. All day, just journaling and morning pages. What I have come to realize is that deep work, so doing focused, uninterrupted blocks of work, is the antidote to procrastination. It lets you, I actually sent out an email to my list today, and the subject line was, deep work is not what you think it is. And what I said in that email was, you might think deep work is, again, focused on uninterrupted block of time or the most amazing opportunity to get my work done in one fell swoop. And what I said was, you wouldn't be wrong. It's definitely that, but it's the opportunity to be present with yourself. It's the opportunity to use your prefrontal planning part of your brain to plan ahead to do the hard, uncomfortable thing. And then you show up. So let's say I plan for a deep work block tomorrow on the hardest task that I have to do all week. I can anticipate with almost 100% certainty I'm not going to want to do that tomorrow. But I show up and I do it anyway, and I'm willing to feel all of the uncomfortable feelings that are going to come up. So you asked this earlier, kind of what feelings those are. The feelings that I most see with my clients, insecurity, discomfort, a lot of imposter syndrome, right? Which is that insecurity mm-hmm. feeling. Boredom. So people mm-hmm. who seek joy, they don't want to face boredom. Overwhelm. So there's so much stuff you have to be willing to face in that deep work block. So I always say the deep work block at its surface level seems like just 60 minutes of focused work. But once you dig deeper, it is the opportunity to show up for yourself and to get to know yourself.
Okay. So all of that sounds, I was going to say good, but it doesn't. It sounds
yeah, totally.
It doesn't sound good. But it sounds like it makes sense. Like, okay, I'm getting this now. So is there... This is something I have so many questions for you. So in those situations, like, okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to do the thing that's going to bring up one of these really uncomfortable feelings that we don't want to face. Do you, in those moments, are we going to work through that feeling in some way? Are we going to shove that feeling down in some way? Like, is this like, oh, we're going to table that for later? Rise above it. Like, what do we do with the feeling? Like, okay, we've identified it and then what? Like, how do we get from the feeling to like actually doing the thing? And maybe that's yeah. the flow state, but that's where I'm curious first.
Yeah. So I think it's easy to skip over one of the things that you just said, which is we feel it, we identify it, but that part, just that step alone, so important and really tough for a lot of people. I have clients, I'm in week five of my group coaching program of eight. And we talk about how do I know what I'm feeling? How do I pinpoint the feeling? And a lot of coaches, this is my strong opinion, my hot take. A lot of coaches will tell you like, oh, bring out your feeling wheel that tells you all the different emotions in one graphic. It's like, are you feeling angry? Are you feeling sad, disappointed? And I actually am really against the feeling wheel because I think it keeps you in your head and it keeps you intellectualizing your feeling. So what I have my clients do, I'm like, close your eyes, hand on your heart, hand on your stomach, and start describing the feeling. And so in that moment, you have an hour long block and you're like, huh, okay, my stomach feels tight. I'm seeing the color red, bright red. It's moving really fast. And I can get more and more specific about that feeling. And then I can identify, well, what is that feeling? And for me, maybe that feeling is overwhelm. Right? And so you want to describe the vibrations in your body. So I wanted to bring your attention back to that only because I think that step is so easy to,
Totally. Well, and that idea of going back into the head and like, and trying to like logic ourselves out of this and like, no, like really just like get centered with yourself and feel it and start describing it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, go on. Yeah.
So excited. There's so many steps. But yeah, so that's the first step. And then from there you go, okay, it's just vibrations in my body. And even just acknowledging that helps take a lot of the sting and a lot of the fear out of it. Mm-hmm. Because you realize, oh, I've been so much dreading and procrastinating this task because I didn't want to feel this set of vibrations in my body. Oh, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was. I can feel this. And then I say, so once you identify the feeling, identify the thought that's creating the feeling. So I know you talk a lot about this, and especially in Best Month Ever, is that thought and feeling. So what thought is causing the feeling? And then I recommend if you're in the middle of a deep work state, just pause there. That's enough information. So feeling, what thought is creating it, and then just get back to work with the feeling.
With the feeling.
With the feeling.
And this is subtle, but it's so powerful. I think it's part of the magic of how you walk your clients through this is you're not the one owning it. So instead of saying I'm overwhelmed, it's just, oh, my body has these overwhelmed vibrations. I don't know how you would say it. But it's we're able to acknowledge it without taking it on as our identity, mm-hmm. which I think is a powerful, subtle yet powerful shift in terms of being able to say, okay, maybe it isn't, like, I can deal with that. Like, it's there, but it doesn't have to always be there. It's not who I am as a person. It doesn't have to mean anything more than that. And then start doing the work.
Yeah. I love that you picked up on that, because I wasn't even aware that I was totally doing that. It's distinguishing between, it's not necessarily me identifying. So I like that you noticed that. And then something that I was teaching in my group coaching program today was this idea that when you have a thought, so once you identify that feeling of overwhelm or whatever it is, then you go, okay, well, what's the thought? There's so much to do. Maybe it's as simple as that. Then you can just tack on, there's so much to do is just a thought I'm thinking. And that's another way to keep separating yourself out from your thoughts and your feelings.
Yes. And to like highlight and underline, like, it's just a thought I'm thinking. Like, this is not reality. It's the reality that, it's how you're interpreting the reality, but there are other ways to interpret that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So then, is there any, so one, are there any more steps that you want to highlight before I ask you something that may or may not take us on a tangent?
So there are more steps, but in that moment when you're doing deep work, I recommend stopping there, because otherwise you're like, oh, why don't I go explore my feelings and go think about it and do all that instead of working, which is what the problem we're trying to solve in the first place.
So for the flow state, yes, you want to acknowledge it. And then really be able to just work through it to then say, okay, now we're going to start taking action. Like, it doesn't have to, we don't have to go journal on it. We don't have to go, you know, like, we can just acknowledge it and start doing the work and not let it hold us back.
Yeah. And in the guide, you see, there's a step that's like, write down your thoughts as you have them. If they threaten to derail you from your deep work state, just write them down. And then that's it. Then cut yourself off and come back and go, okay, I can feel anxious and still work. I can feel overwhelmed and still work. I can feel discomfort and still work.
Yes. So this might do this, but this is what I'm thinking. An expression I've used over the past couple of weeks as things have been crazier with kids home and just kind of going one minute to the next of like being in mom mode and then being in, and then having overlapping scenarios of like, I'm on a call myself and then my daughter is a Zoom and I'm like running in the other room to get her. So, you know, and it's this, so that's not the exact thing because that's not flow state necessarily. But what I've been saying is like, it's hard to just flip the switch sometimes. And the way I stack my schedule, even during all of this, is I have days that are call days and days that are more maybe deep work or just, you know, any work that would just require my attention, not necessarily be on a call. And on those, like for the calls, this may just be my personality type. I'm sure there are people that are the opposite of this. For me, I can flip the switch pretty easy on a call. Mm-hmm. I can turn it on a call and be focused and be in that mode pretty easily. For the deeper work, it's hard for me to, even if I have total silence, even if my husband takes the kids out of the house and I have the whole place to myself, sometimes it's hard to flip that switch into work mode. Now, maybe starting to do some of these things is going to help with that.
Yeah.
But is there a routine or something else to kind of pair this with that can help us get into that flow state?
Yeah.
State?
Yes. Okay. This is such a good question. So the short answer is yes. Walk through the 15-minute deep work method, step by step, how to basically, the way that one of my clients described it was basically facilitate a deep work state or flow state, right? A deep work state or flow state. He didn't use the word facilitate. He used another really good word, like, I'll have to go back to him, but right, create it instead of waiting for it to happen. But the other thing I think is fascinating is that you have a perfect example in your life of a time where it's easy for you to flip the switch. So why is it easy for you on calls?
Well, now this is where you start coaching me. So it's easy for me on calls because calls are easy for me. It's easy for me to do people's people work. It's easy for me to coach. It's easy for me to show up and answer questions. It's easy for me to be, if I'm being interviewed, if I'm interviewing, if I'm doing a coaching call, a group coaching call, any of those things are just very easy and natural for me.
Yeah.
And so, it's just very easy for me. However, that's not to say I don't need to improve in certain, it's just like, it just comes very naturally.
Yeah.
Whereas as someone with ADD and with all of these other, you know, when I need to sit down and get into that focus state, that is something that is harder in general. And then with all these other things going on, and just even the lack of personal time, I'm fairly extroverted myself, but I'm joking that I'm like the least extroverted person in my family. Nobody else seems to crave alone time like I do. Like,
that's awesome.
Some alone time people. You know, with kids, there's just like another layer of like invasion of all personal space. Like I'm in the bathroom with two kids and a dog. So, you know, it's like so part of it is maybe like, okay, when I do have time to myself, I just want to like enjoy that time to myself, maybe for a little bit, which is, you know, but I don't know, there's other times where I'm like, okay, I just need to, and I just can't seem to turn it on. So I think it is, that's why I'm like, I'm sure there's people that are the opposite, because that's not my natural tendency. And as I was sharing with you before we pressed record, it's been late at night that I've been able to really get going with things and sometimes just catch a second wind and be in a maybe a flow state, maybe just a focused state. I'm not sure totally the difference there, but I say focused and not flow because sometimes the work I'm doing isn't necessarily profoundly creative or deep, but I'm like just actually able to finally do it, where earlier in the day I struggled to actually do it.
Yeah.
And so I've just been riding the wave and staying up late. But I would love to be able to better use some of those opportunities I do have where maybe it's not 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Can I coach you?
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I always accidentally coach podcast hosts every time I go to podcasts.
I love that you ask. I need to be better at asking because sometimes I just go into like, oh yes.
I coach my one of my best friends is living with me during quarantine, and I coach her against her will all day every day. So I'm trying to be better at not doing that. So.
ask my mom or my kids or my husband. Yeah,
totally. So it's just so interesting, the narrative that you have for both of those two different things. So you have one narrative, and the simplest narrative, the way to boil it down is this is easy, mm-hmm. right? Getting on calls, this is easy. And then you have so much evidence for that belief, right? Every time you get on call, you're like, oh, I'm in the zone, I'm in flow. And so of course you create evidence, and then you validate that belief that you have, which in this case sounds like it's an amazing belief on this side, right? Of I can focus immediately when I get on calls. That sounds awesome. So the other side of that, you have a narrative, I would assume is somewhat like, this is hard.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So
even but I'm already just, like, but it is.
Right. Yes. Totally human.
Oh, but no, I thank you for reflecting that back to me. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So one of the things that then I recommend to my clients is just that awareness, right? Oh, maybe it's just a narrative that I've told myself and then repeated a lot. And maybe there's some wiggle room. So I always say, if we can get an inch, we can get a mile. So if you believe the thought, yeah, but it is hard, and you're not willing to believe yet that that kind of flow state focused work is easy, just inch your way, right? You can say, I'm open to believing that it could be easy. Does that belief feel true to you?
It does. What I'm thinking of as you're saying this is, I'm going to ask you a question and then I'll tell you how it goes. Are you one of those people that likes to know like people's personality types and stuff? Like, so I already referenced I'm an Enneagram 3. I'm also an ENFP on the Myers-Briggs. Are you someone that's like, oh, that's like interesting information? Or are you like, I don't like those kind of assessments?
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they're fascinating. My brain loves to bucketize things and categorize. And I'm like, okay, that helps me understand the world in a way that makes sense to my brain. So yes, I like them. And when I'm coaching, I don't care at all what personality type you are.
all I care is what is the narrative about your personality type and does it serve you?
Totally. Yeah. And that's where I think there's, because I'm like, okay, so where is this evidence? I'm like racking my brain as you're saying this. And I'm like, but I'm this. So of course that's hard for me, right? And so I think some of those beliefs are not even, I think some of it is just things that I've experienced my whole life, right? That were validated by some of these personality assessments, right? So that serving is like more, it's like evidence coming from an authority source, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, now there's like third party credential things that are reinforcing why that's hard for me, right?
Right.
And yeah, so I think that that's part of where that belief system, it's interesting us talking because you're like, oh, and you mentioned this investment effort. And I'm like, and this is something that like in a totally different scenario, I could see myself helping a client with. But it is such an ingrained belief of like, well, that type of work is hard for me. So, yeah. So I'm starting to even think of that differently is hard.
Well, I'm like, this is why coaches have coaches, right? Because we can teach one thing and then we're like, oh, wait, my thoughts aren't facts. Oh yeah. I'm not ready to accept that. And then
it's the personal development journey, right? It's like, that's that you keep like peeling that onion and just new levels. And I'm really excited about this because that's like, I'm always continuing to work on myself and, especially with stuff like this. So yeah, I'm really curious now. Like, okay, what do I do with this information? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, this is one thing that I told a client. She hates waking up in the morning. She has a very strong story. I always call it like, what is the title of your memoir? And her title is Hates Waking Up in the Morning, and very strongly wedded to this story. And so what I said to her is, listen, I don't think we're going to get any traction with you believing it's easy to wake up in the morning, but you can just believe it's really hard and that's okay. Cause I can do hard things like Glennon Doyle says.
Yes.
So for you, you might not even want to have the belief that it's easy, but just even having that additional wiggle room of it's really hard. But you're freaking amazing and successful. Of course you can do it.
Okay. I'm going to play with that. And for better or for worse, I've been trying to reframe because with this pattern of working late into the night for weeks, I was like biting and I'm like, oh, I should be like going to bed earlier. And I was just like shutting myself to death on it. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just a night owl. Like this is just how it is. And I'm just going to own it. And this doesn't have to be something I feel like guilty or shame about every day that I was up late working. But like, you know what? I have kids home a lot of the time and I finally have a quiet house that I'm able to, and I'm doing it and it's working. Right. So I started like shifting the narrative of, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to be like, and tomorrow I'll be better. Like maybe I'm just going to be a like night owl for this whole experience.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of your client there, but okay. I'm going to play like this. We can do hard things. And I think that's a good segue where it feels, I don't know, like too big of a to be like, this is easy too, right? When we're like lying to ourselves.
Totally. Can I make one more really interesting point? Because I think this will be helpful. The other thing that I would encourage you to do, there's a lot here. So I'm like, I'm going to listen back to this podcast, keep getting more information from everything we talked about. But the other thing is your brain, and you can see in the way you describe it, your brain has decided that being on calls is not focused work. And I would push back. You seem really focused right now. So I would.
Thinking putty.
Whatever works. That's great.
Okay. No. Oh, interesting. Okay. Carry on.
Yeah. So your brain has gone, okay, but but it's not the focus work of like creative output. But I'm like, what if it is? What if it's one and the same? And that way your brain doesn't have these two different stories that you're trying to reconcile. That way you can kind of, I always think about life in a Venn diagram is focus time is calls and it's also content creation.
Oh, I love that. That's like a, I feel like we need this audio content, but I'm like picturing the like mind blown emoji here. Like, yes. Right. Cause totally I've completely categorized like calls is not, but of course I have to be focused on calls, but that makes complete sense. But for some reason I was categorizing them as like completely different things. Like this is just, I could just show up and be me. And the other one I can also just show up and be me, but it's been this other thing of like, I have to be like really focused and get to this like other state that's hard to get to.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, this is so juicy. Oh, now I'm like, oh, I can't wait for my time tomorrow where I get to try all this stuff out.
Yes.
I will report back to you guys for sure.
Please do.
Oh, okay. First, you mentioned the guide. How did we get the guide?
Yeah. If you go to peakcoaching.co/deepworkstate, that is where you grab the guide for how to get into a deep work state in 15 minutes.
Ooh, so good. So good. And anything else you wanted to share, anything you missed on or anything else you wanted to bring up?
I guess I'll just say this, that I hear from so many people who identify as lifelong procrastinators and they feel so ashamed about it. And often they'll say, I'm behind my peers or I'm behind other people my age. And I think that's one of the most valuable things of doing small group work is people go, oh, okay, maybe this isn't a character flaw or a moral shortcoming. Maybe it's just an action that stems from a feeling. And I think that is, it's almost a way, it's like normalizing procrastination, but also making people aware that it is solvable.
Well, thank you for that empowering message. And my brain is still trying to make sense of this all. The other realization I've had is in a normal work day, when I start working in the morning, the afternoon is my most productive part of the day. And now with my husband working for the most part during the day, I'm working later in the day. So it is interesting that like this productive time is just getting like pushed back. Like there's some type of although you have to be done by this time, like inner clock, and my inner clock just got moved back to like the wee hours of the night. And for some reason it like takes that like pressure of pushing up against that imaginary deadline that tends to like unlock the whatever focused flow state.
Mm.
Am I just being weird or is that?
No, I think that there's something there. It's because your brain goes, I need this imaginary deadline.
Yes. Oh yeah. I'm like next level. We can,
no, you're honestly, I'm like, no, this is, my entire business is talking about procrastination all day, every day. You are so normal. And this is exactly what comes up for people. I love it. I love just the layers and layers.
Layers and layers. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and for coaching me. And hopefully I got so much out of this. Hopefully those listening were able to either relate to me through this or see how this could apply to you, because even if you have different struggles than I have or a different work scenario, it's still that like, how are we defining things and what are those things look like for you? And your calls may be hard for you and other work may be easy for you, but that's like, it's the details of it almost doesn't matter. It's just like, what are we labeling it and how is that showing up for us and affecting how we're showing up for that type of work?
So. Yes. Such a good summary. Yes. I love that.
Oh, all right. How can we stay in touch with you?
The best way is to go to peakcoaching.co and go to that deep work state page. So /deepworkstate. And that is how to get on the email list. So you'll be kicked into that sequence all about deep work. I just revamped it today. And just re-released the guide, and it's a lot more streamlined and more effective now than ever. And then, you'll get other emails from me. And so I'm actually switching over from one-on-one consults to group calls every month where people can come together and talk about procrastination. Freaking pumped about that.
Ooh, so excited for you. All right. Well, thank you so, so much. I can't wait to go get to work now.
Awesome. Have fun.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.